Good evening. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
I'm Christina Thomas.
SONA, the Symphony of Northwest Arkansas, presents the annual Christmas concert Saturday. That's tomorrow night, December 14th, at Walton Arts Center. Performing a mix of holiday favorites, musicians will be joined by the SONA singers, regional choirs, the winners of the SONA talent search, and more. Tickets available at 443-5600 or sonamusic.org. KUAF is supported by Ben Owens Shelter Insurance Agency, providing auto, home, and life insurance. 582-4990 for more information. Happy Friday evening.
Happy Friday evening indeed.
We have, for the past 4 days, been telling you that this is a year-end fundraiser, and we're almost kind
to
of
the end of the year-end fundraiser.
The informal end of the year-end fundraiser, yes.
Yes. So, if you have yet to make your contribution, you can do so now at supportkuaf.com. We have sent our phone volunteers, our awesome phone volunteers, home for the day, but our website
and for the year,
for the year, yes. But our website is always available, so you could do that this evening if you have yet to make a gift this year, or perhaps would like to add a little more to what you have given.
That's right. And if you've never given to KUAF, but you've been listening maybe on Friday nights because you hear Ozarks at Large, then you hear Generic Blue Show, and you hear Shades of Jazz with Robert Ginsberg, you can't find these programs anywhere else.
Nope.
There's not jazz anywhere else on the radio in Northwest Arkansas. There's not blues. There's not a program like Ozarks at Large. So if you appreciate that, please remember these programs cost money.
Absolutely. And you can help us pay for those by making a contribution at supportkuaf.com.
To everyone who has already contributed, thank you so much. Still some work to do, and we count on you to help us get there. Supportkuaf.com.
And thank you.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me on the phone is Michael Tilley. He is the editor and publisher of thecitywire.com and is still battling a voice that comes in and out, aren't you?
Yes. If anybody's got any those, you know, great over-the-counter remedies or any tricks, I'm all ears.
Well, we'll try to keep you from talking too much, but let's first talk about the U.S. Marshals Museum. TheCityWire.com had a story earlier this week about the big financial hurdles that they're trying to clear between now and their scheduled groundbreaking.
Yes, they want to break ground in September. That's the 225th anniversary of the U.S. Marshals Service, the oldest law enforcement agency in the U.S., established by President Washington. And they want to have a groundbreaking, but they're going to need, unless they have some tricks up their sleeve that they haven't told the public, they're going to need anywhere from 25, as much as 35 million to come in, because they have said they don't want to break ground unless they know that they've got enough money to begin construction. Because, you know, you don't want to begin construction and get concrete poured and get steel up and then run out of money and have a half-baked project. So it will be interesting. They have a National Leadership Council. Former Attorney General Ed Meese is on that council. A lot of prominent folks. Former U.S. Senator Blanche Lincoln was just added recently. So they're beginning to work the national scene to raise money. But, you know, they've been trying to raise money since about 2009 and have a combination of in-kind in terms of land and direct donations and pledges. They have less than $10 million. So they've got a lot of ground to make up.
Did you get the sense whether there is with the leadership optimism about the $25 million or more?
Well, you do. And you know Jim Dunn, the Marshals Museum CEO, you know, he could be very excited or very sad, and you get the same facial emotion. You know, just very cool that way. And, you know, his message during the recent board meeting was, you know, we've got a lot of things we plan to accomplish in the next 6 months, so stay tuned. So I don't know if that meant we're expecting good news or we hope to have good news. So he's hard to read sometimes.
Gotcha. Speaking of whether people are optimistic or not, thecitywire.com conducted a survey with some business leaders and CEOs in the region about what to expect in 2014, and it seemed cautiously optimistic, the responses you received.
Right, and it was, so your listeners know, it wasn't scientific, it wasn't, you know, it was an informal survey,
sure.
And we sent out a email to several folks and got some interesting responses back. And it was, we did this, it was fueled by, there was a CFO survey pushed out, national CFO survey, in which a majority of those chief financial officers around the country were somewhat optimistic about 2014, but they were all, I mean, they also mentioned that they were concerned about unknown regulatory burdens, healthcare costs, and other kind of things. So I was curious as to what our local leaders thought. And interestingly enough, it's pretty much the same thing. They're all either cautiously optimistic. We had one guy said he was moderately pessimistic, which is a new term. I thought that was interesting. And he's not even a politician, so he wasn't even pitching his bets. So, but they all see, especially in Northwest Arkansas, they see a brighter environment in terms of employment, in terms of the housing market continuing to be stable and growing. But they do express concerns, regulatory concerns. A lot of the banker responses, they're not sure what the ongoing cost of Dodd-Frank implementation will cost them, and they're concerned about the healthcare environment, what those costs will be. You know, and that's a big unknown. I mean, we don't, you know, we can't even get, or a lot of businesses aren't getting clear answers out of either Department of Health and Human Services or the White House. So that is definitely an unknown in the business community.
There was also, it was last Friday after you and I had talked that you posted the latest unemployment numbers, these for October 2013. And as you do sometimes on the citywire.com, you give it some historical context, what the numbers were 2 years ago, last year, last month. And it looks like everything with the unemployment numbers is about the same in the Fort Smith Metro in Northwest Arkansas, in the state of Arkansas.
Right. And it's, you know, the one thing about Northwest Arkansas is they continue to grow, or we continue to see an upward trend. It'll fluctuate from month to month, but overall the trend is up in terms of the size of the workforce. And that, a lot of times we in the media will get focused on that jobless rate. You know, is it 7%? Is it 8%? What is it? But we have to remember that that jobless rate is a function of the number of employed and the number of, and the size of the workforce in a particular area. And so the good thing about the Northwest Arkansas economy is that workforce size continues to move up, and that means there are more people either in the area or more people actively looking for jobs. In the Fort Smith area, they're still seeing it's improving, but it's still well below the workforce size that was in the area, you know, 10 years ago. So there's still a lot of ground to make up. I think if you're looking for a positive in the Fort Smith area, it's that it appears that the job losses and the decline in the size of the workforce has bottomed out. And so hopefully, as it bottoms out, then the next trend will be that it'll start ticking upward in a more consistent pattern.
Finally this week, Lieutenant Governor Mark Dar's spending with a state card was examined by a legislative panel. Any thoughts on that?
Well, I don't think we've heard the last of that. You know, that's been turned over to Prosecutor Jagley there in Central Arkansas in Placid County, and he's going to look into it. And you know, it's going to be interesting what he comes back with, because the audit was pretty clear that they were misused, and that's last I checked, that's a big no-no. I was somewhat surprised. Well, we have to remember, those of us who have been covering the legislature for a long time, I still have to stop and remind myself that Republicans are in charge over the House, and Dar is a Republican. So the audit committee report went pretty light on him. Some are saying that now, it may be that they know that this is going to be turned over to a prosecutor, and they weren't willing to pile on. But I think we've not heard the last of this episode.
Okay. Well, Michael Tilley is the editor and publisher of the citywire.com. Talk to him by cell phone today because he's doing some speaking in Northwest Arkansas. So rest the voice and drive carefully. There's been some more freezing rain in Benton County today.
All right. Thanks, and have a good weekend, Kyle.
Thank you, Michael.
Jazz guitarist Jim Hall died last Tuesday at his home in Greenwich Village. Hall was a guitar god, and his recorded history documents collaboration with jazz legends like Sonny Rollins, Paul Desmond, Chico Hamilton, and Ron Carter. I'm Robert Ginsberg. This Friday at 10 p.m. on Shades of Jazz, I dedicate 2 hours to the music of Jim Hall. Please join me for Shades of Jazz right here on KUAF.
And this is Ozarks at Large. I'm Antoinette Grajeda, and joining me now is Rhonda Dillard, our underwriting director here. And during the season of giving, a elf of all hats, we've decided.
I love that. I do feel like Santa Claus today.
You are. It's Rhonda Claus. Rhonda Claus is back in the office because we are doing the KUAF website giveaway and the Christmas giveaway.
That's right. It's been on the web. We've been promoting it for roughly 5-6 weeks. Had hundreds of entries. So thanks to everyone who contributed and participated and entered. And now we get to give away the good stuff.
The holiday giveaway is always fun because we get to have lots of winners.
Yeah, it is. It's great fun.
Okay. So what are we giving away first?
I think we should start with number one.
Okay. So we have a $150 gift certificate, good for tree or bush-related services from Brown's Tree Care.
Yep. Underwriters, we thank them so much for participating.
Of course. And the winner is...
Drumroll.
Emily Williams of Fayetteville.
Emily, congratulations.
Excellent. Okay, second thing?
The second thing, our friends at Handmade Market Goods and Gourmet have given us two $100 gift certificates, so we will actually have two winners for this. And so the first winner for the Handmade Gift Certificate is Corey Holbert.
From Fayetteville.
If I can read. Corey, congratulations.
And second winner is?
And the second winner is Harold Watson of Lowell.
All right.
So, yay.
Congratulations to both of them.
Yes.
Okay. Next gift we have is a $120 gift certificate from Stonebridge Meadows Golf Club. It's good for a round of golf, cart included, for four golfers, valid Monday through Thursday.
I think a golfer would be very excited about that.
I think so, too. So I hope our winner is a golfer. Who do we have?
That's right. We have Ben Pollock from Fayetteville. Ben, congratulations.
Excellent. Congratulations.
Yes. Thanks, Stonebridge. We appreciate it.
We do. All right. Next, we have a $100 gift certificate from Arcegas. It's redeemable at the Depot, the Fayetteville Public Library, the U of A Law Library, and at Washington Regional Medical Center's Arcegas.
We love that.
We do.
And the winner, drumroll again, is Betty Pittman of Hackett. Hackett,
excellent.
Arkansas. So, Betty, congratulations.
Congratulations to Betty. All right. And now we have a $100 gift certificate to Ozark Natural Foods.
Ah, which is always a great gift. Mm-hmm. The winner for this gift certificate is Dan Dean of Fayetteville. So, Dan, congratulations.
Congratulations to Dan. Okay. Let's see. Some more food here. We have a $100 gift certificate from Greenhouse Grill in Fayetteville. Always some delicious food. Ate there the other day, actually.
I know. And if they want me to come along
you'd be happy
to enjoy this gift certificate,
escort them.
More than glad. If they get lost, I'll be glad to.
Well, who are you helping out with this one?
This is going to be Conrad Walensky?
Waligorski.
Waligorski.
From Fayetteville.
Congratulations, Conrad.
Congratulations.
You will enjoy that. That'll be great fun.
All right. And let's give away one more thing. We're going to give away two VIP tickets to the 2014 Fayetteville Roots Festival. It will showcase culture, roots music, and local food, as well as organic and fair trade items, jewelry, live art, and exhibits. Artists are still to be determined, but it's always a good time. You and I always go and have a great time.
We do. We have a great time. It's a huge festival for Northwest Arkansas, and especially for Fayetteville, and the artists are unbelievable.
Okay.
So this big gift goes to Ashley Dowling of... just says Arkansas.
Well,
so
we'll figure
Ashley, that's right. Congratulations. We're very excited for you.
Congratulations to everyone, and stay tuned. Coming up in just a little bit, Kyle will be back with Rhonda to announce some more winners.
Yay!
And this is Ozarks at Large. Coming up on this Friday evening edition, we have your interview, Antoinette, with Joe Pug, a kind of folk Singer-songwriter.
Singer-songwriter out of Austin, Texas. He was in town for a show last month, and while he was here, he stopped by the studio, and so we'll have that coming up for you later on this edition of Ozarks at Large.
Right, but first, just want to take a few seconds to thank everybody that has contributed so far during the on-air portion of our year-end fundraiser. We are going to continue to pitch people to the web, send people to our website to support KUAF.com throughout the weekend. So there's still time if you have yet to make your contribution to KUAF's year-end fundraiser.
And to everybody who's given, thank you.
This is Ozarks at Large for Friday, December 13th, 2013. I'm Christina Thomas.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
Joining us now is Becca Martin Brown, features editor with Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
Ladies, I am not even going to try for clever.
Okay.
We're just going to dive into all the things that we know of that have been rescheduled from last weekend to this weekend.
So many things.
Mm-hmm.
Today, there's an artist reception for Master of Fine Arts candidates at the University of Arkansas from 5 to 8 at Sugar on the Fayetteville Square. The galleries open 1 to 6 tomorrow, so you get another chance to see that exhibit. There's an open house tonight from 5:30 to 8:30 at the Drennan Scott Historic Site in Van Buren. All these are postponements. So if they sound familiar to you, you're right. On Saturday, breakfast with Santa at the Art Center of the Ozarks in Springdale at 8:30, 9:15, and 10 o'clock. They did have some cancellations, so there may be tickets available. You can call 751-5441. The Holiday Bazaar at the Community Creative Center has been rescheduled for 10 to 4 on Saturday.
I'm glad about that one.
I'm going to be out of town, so I'm going to miss it twice.
Ugh.
Remember the Block Street Art Sale?
Yes.
Which then became the Holiday Art Sale.
Yes.
Which then became the We're Iced In and It's Not Going to Happen Art Sale.
Yes.
And now it's really become two art sales.
Okay.
There's a winter art sale on Saturday from 10 to 4 and Sunday, same hours, at the home of Jay and Joyce Hale on Cleburne Street in Fayetteville. And that has Don House and Sabine Schmidt and William Mays Flanagan and Victoria McKinney and Marie Demarukas that would have been at the other art sale that didn't happen.
Okay.
And you can check what's up for the address on Cleburne.
Okay.
Santa's in the Park Saturday from 1 to 3 at Basin Spring Park in Eureka Springs. And the Eureka Springs Christmas Tour of Homes has been moved to this weekend from 3 to 8 on Saturday. On Sunday, John Tuhok's Christmas concert is going to happen at 2 o'clock at the Eureka Springs City Auditorium. That's $15. On Monday, the Eureka Springs Christmas Parade with the Platters has been moved to 6 o'clock. And Holiday Harmonies with the Arkansas Winds Community Concert Band, which was supposed to happen at the Art Center of the Ozarks last week and is happening at 7:30 at Central United Methodist Church in Fayetteville. Are you confused yet? Because I am. And on Tuesday, Randy McCrory's Pictorial History of Bentonville Part 2 has been rescheduled from last week at the Bentonville Public Library. And the holiday reception at the Springdale Public Library is from 5 to 7 on Wednesday. Now, Saturday the 21st is when the rest of the Block Street Art Show happens. It's okay. The itty-bitty Weddington Christmas Sale.
Okay.
And it's happening on Pin Oak Road in Fayetteville. Again, the address is in What's Up with Block Street artists Faye Alter and Susan Shore and Deborah Dubois and some others. So that's everything that's been rescheduled.
Okay.
Are there things that were scheduled to happen this weekend?
That are.
Okay.
Yes. Yes, there are.
Originally scheduled to happen.
Exactly.
Okay.
The best Christmas pageant ever is back at the Art Center of the Ozarks. And you know you love this. It's the rotten kids who come in and destroy the Christmas pageant and learn the true meaning of Christmas. And kids plan for years to be in it at ACO. That's at 7:30 today and tomorrow and 3 o'clock on Sunday. And tickets are $10 to $20. Junie B. in Jingle Bells, Batman Smells, presented by Trike Theater, 6:30 today, 2 and 6:30 tomorrow, and 2 on Sunday in White Auditorium at Northwest Arkansas Community College. The Little Mermaid Junior is happening with the Academy Players in Fort Smith. 7 today, 2 and 7 tomorrow, 2 on Sunday at Breedlove Auditorium. The Sound of Music is happening, presented by the Theater Company in Harrison. 7:30 today and tomorrow and 2 on Sunday. A Christmas Carol continues at Nadine Baum Studios in Fayetteville. That's Theater Squared. And Fully Committed continues at Rogers Little Theater at 8 today and tomorrow and 2 on Sunday. Phew.
It's a lot of holiday.
Good luck.
Becca Martin Brown is Features Editor with Northwest Arkansas Newspapers. Back to you, Kyle.
Thank you. It's time to give some more stuff away. So Rhonda Dillard is with me.
That's right. It is the KUF and Friends Holiday Giveaway, and we are continuing. We did a few drawings just a little bit ago, and we're going to move forward and do some more.
All right. So help me, Rhonda. How did this work?
Essentially, it's super simple. You just go online and put in your information, and we put it in the computer and let it do the drawings and put everybody together.
Honestly, I knew how it worked. I've always wanted to say, so help me, Rhonda, on the air.
Oh,
okay.
Knew it.
So let's give away a $200 gift certificate from Serta Pro Painters of Northwest Arkansas. This could be used for your house, your deck, your fence, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Small room, power washing, if okay. You prefer that.
$200 gift certificate. Who does that go to?
And the winner of that is Ethel Simpson. Ethel, congratulations.
She's from Fayetteville.
Here in Fayetteville. Absolutely.
Very good.
Yay.
Oh, here's one. I think these are really cool. So here's one to the Alma Performing Arts Center. The winner receives two tickets to each of the following. Soji Tabuchi, which is happening Thursday. The Mark Lowry Unplugged and Unplanned in February. Helen Reddy in February.
I Am Woman, Hear Me Roar.
Yeah, that's right. She also did a version of Delta Dawn.
Did not know that.
Yeah. Tanya Tucker had the country version. Anyway, here. So the Alma Performing Arts Center package goes to?
Betty Musser of Fayetteville.
Congratulations, Betty.
Yeah, Betty, enjoy the shows. It'll be terrific.
A $100 gift certificate from 11. That's the restaurant inside Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art. So who will receive that?
And the winner of that is Jennifer Schilling of Fayetteville as well. Jennifer, congratulations.
All right.
You will enjoy that. Great
yes.
food.
Speaking of $100 gift certificates, here's one from Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art Museum Store.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you can really turn this into something in a hurry.
You can. And plus, you get four tickets to
The Stieglitz?
The Stieglitz and the Georgia O'Keeffe collection, which is on display till February the 3rd.
Oh, wow.
So a terrific package. And that goes to Marty Burgraff. Friend
All
of
right.
KUF for a long time.
That's
Marty,
right.
Congratulations.
You're on your way to Bentonville.
Yeah.
Next up, $100 gift certificate from Dog Party USA. So if you're going out of town for the holidays or any time and you need to drop off your dogs,
certainly
they'll be pampered.
And if you don't have a dog, you can share this with someone that does.
Yeah.
How
I didn't know
that?
Where you were going to go with that. Okay. You can stay there yourself.
You can move in yourself. Chatty
yes.
will take great care of
yes.
you.
Yes. All right. Who has this?
The winner of that is Anthony Garrett of Fayetteville. So, Anthony, congratulations. Hope you have some pups.
Yeah. $150 gift certificate from Packrat Outdoor Center. Wow.
I know, right?
Yeah.
That's always very exciting. I went to, I picked it up the other day, this gift certificate, and just walked in and went, oh, yeah. Great stuff.
Who is going to Packrat?
The winner of that is Jim Reese. And Jim, congratulations. You will enjoy that. That's a great holiday gift.
We're going to give one more away, and this is four prime weekend tickets to the production of your choice of Theater Squared's A Christmas Carol.
Oh, yes. And the winner of that is going to be Betty Lou Lancaster.
Okay.
And it's not just the Christmas Carol. It's also Good People and Hamlet.
Oh.
So it's a nice little package.
You get the
package.
Rest of the season.
Yes, you do. So it's a nice little package.
Four tickets to each of those.
Yes. So,
that's a deal.
So, Betty Lou, congratulations.
All right, Rhonda. Thank you very much. We've
thank
got
you.
Seven more winners. Christina, we'll talk to you about that toward the end of the show.
Thank you, guys.
And this is Ozarks at Large, the final day of our year-end fundraiser, and we have sent our volunteers home, but would like to continue to ask people to go to our website, supportkuaf.com.
And we're reminding you that just because the most obvious part of our fundraiser is over,
right,
that the program still costs money. So if you haven't had a chance in the last couple of days during this year-end fundraiser to pledge online and you appreciate the local programming, the national programming, those price tags are still there. So if you have a chance, if you're able to reconcile your budget and you'd like to make a gift to KUAF, a tax-deductible year-end gift, you can do that right now online at supportkuaf.com.
That's right. And thank you to everybody who has contributed so far.
This is Ozarks at Large. I mean, it's Winnet Grajeda. Austin-based musician Joe Pug says he had never been to Fayetteville prior to last year. But since last fall, he's come to Northwest Arkansas three times. The first time was to open for James McMurtry at George's Majestic Lounge, and the second time included a performance on the 2013 Fayetteville Roots Festival main stage. Most recently, he returned to George's last month to headline an intimate Monday night concert. While he was in town, he stopped by the Furman Garner Performance Studio. During our conversation, he discussed why he moved to Chicago, the place where his professional music career began.
I dropped out of college and I wanted to move. So I knew I couldn't move back home to Maryland where my folks were because I didn't want to go back there with my tail between my legs, you know. So I had to strike out and I had a buddy that lived in Chicago who had just moved there. And so I knew that there was a couch I could crash on. So that's what I did. I just moved there, and within a week, I had a job, and I had a room I was renting in like a group house. And that was before, you know, I even called my folks to let them know that I had dropped out. So I just moved there to move there. I didn't move there to play music. I just had to move somewhere new. That's all.
So where does carpentry come in? Because I know you were a carpenter for a while, and that doesn't seem like something you just pick up.
Yeah, well, my dad was a carpenter.
Oh, okay.
And, I was never a very good carpenter. I mainly just grabbed coffee for and cleaned up after the good carpenters, and that's kind of what I did for my dad, too. But, I could frame a wall. I can do a few things, but I was never very good.
Did your dad have his own company? Did he make you help him out as
a
kid?
Yeah. Well, you know, I'd go and help him out, but he was pretty, it wasn't something that he wanted me to follow in or anything like that. You know, he was a musician before he did that. Basically till he kind of had me, I guess. And when he had me, he had to get serious and make some dough. So he started building houses, but it was never anything that he, you know, wanted to be carried on as a family tradition or anything like that.
So what kind of musician was your dad? What did he play?
He was a piano player and a songwriter. And he played, I mean, it was just straight up rock and roll bands. You know, their heroes were the band. Mm-hmm. And a lot of their records sound a lot like that.
Did he teach you to play anything?
He taught me my first couple chords on the guitar. And he taught me a lot about music. He played all that old stuff for me, the band, John Hiatt, Oren Zevon, and he really introduced me into that, you know, the great culture of the American troubadour.
So at what point did you switch from carpenter in Chicago to musician in Chicago?
Well, I was always doing the music thing at night and the carpentry thing during the day, and then the financial crash of 2008 came, and that really, I mean, all the work dried up in Chicago, carpentry-wise, and I just released my first album by coincidence at the same time, and it was starting to get some good press, and we had the opportunity to play some shows based on that, and so it was strange. It was a very natural transition from having less work in the carpentry realm and having more work playing music, and that was 5 years ago, and I haven't had to swing a hammer since, which, I, you know, it's a good thing.
Well, moved again to Austin in 2010, 2011?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Why Austin? Because I would imagine but at that point you would have picked up, you know, developed a fan base there in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And
I was just ready for a move. I like to move around. I don't like to stay in the same place necessarily too long. And I didn't want to move to Nashville, and I didn't want to move to Los Angeles, so I ended up in Austin.
Why not Nashville? Why not Los Angeles? I mean, I understand these are all musical cities.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I wanted to move to a musical city, but Nashville was a little too... they take the songwriting thing, like, so seriously there, like, almost to a fault. Like, I think, you know, it's just... It's this big psychological thing of, like, you know, of writing and writing with other people and, like... It, to me, it really kind of sapped the joy out of it. The idea of that kind of sapped the joy out of it. And I got a lot of friends that live in Nashville and love it. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to bag on the place too much. But, you know, songwriting for me has always been a personal thing and a thing that is supposed to be the whole joyous part of the endeavor. And I just never wanted to codify that in the way that I felt like I'd have to. In Nashville, and then Los Angeles was just too far away from my family in Maryland. I couldn't make the mental lift to just be on opposite coasts from them. So Austin it is.
So with songwriting, are you necessarily opposed to writing with someone else?
Yeah, I mean, for myself, I am. Mm-hmm. I just don't.
You don't work that way.
Yeah, I just don't work that way. I think. You have to make so many compromises in the rest of your life, you know, personally and professionally, that the writing part is the one place, like, where I don't want to make a compromise with somebody else. You know, I want to do this my own way. And I feel like if someone else has a really good idea for a song, I'm not really going to do anything for them. And if I have a really good idea for a song, I don't want to share that with someone else. I just want to do it myself, you know? So I'm a big fan of other songwriters, both from earlier generations and my generation. I listen to a lot of them, and I'm a fan. But, you know, I just don't... I wouldn't want to work in that other way. You know, and some people do, but that's not me.
Are there certain themes that you try to stick to in your music, or is it just kind of all over the place?
Well... I mean, I don't really censor myself as to what I'm writing, but I will say that I do finish a lot of stuff, and I say to myself, well, that's an all right song, but it's not a Joe Pug song right there. You know, like, I think that there's a very specific voice that, that, you know, this name lends itself to and that people kind of expect from it and that I expect from it, and... So, you know, I keep all those other songs. I don't know where they'll end up. But, yeah, I do toss away a lot of stuff to say, no, that's not in the voice of this project here, you know.
So what is a Joe Pug song?
it would be kind of hard to describe, but, you know, like there's a certain narrator's voice that, like, wouldn't use certain words, even, you know, like I would never use, like, and I couldn't tell you why, but I'd never use, like, the word computer in a song, or I'd never use the word you know, there's just different words that are just not in that voice that I would just never, and I don't know, it's just kind of an intuition thing as to what works and what doesn't.
Fair enough. Well, you brought your guitar. Can we hear a Joe Pug song?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to.
Perfect.
It's been so very long. I know that you're here to surrender the disappointing days I suffered at your age were more than I'd care to remember. Before you throw the towel and turn your engines out, don't expect to spit all that you tasted from your mouth. After all you seem, the most you'll hope to be is pretending to be pretender. That I've been through, I met a gentle few who say that they love and they mean it. The others that I met, they're decent folks, I guess, but all that they love is achievement. The swagger and the dress, the trappings of success, the butter and the milk of what it takes to get ahead. Any given night, you catch them dead to rights, painting their name on the ceiling. Remember in the end, many of your friends would rather be dead than uncertain. They want a simple yes, or even better yet, a promise the next life is perfect. I promise that it's not, but then what have they got? Only 50 years, they never gave a moment's thought. Anyone they find tells them otherwise, they'll follow him backwards and shirtless. Welcome home, my son. It's been so very long. I know that you're here to surrender.
Thank you. And the title of that one was?
A Gentle Few.
A Gentle Few. I do want to ask you about another one of your songs. You were most recently in the area back in August for the Roots Festival. Mm-hmm. And during one of your performances, and then I saw you while you were in town, I think it was The Great Despiser mm-hmm. that you were talking about before you played it, saying that it's one of those songs that you got into the studio and then added a bunch to it.
Yeah.
But you actually like it with less.
Yeah.
I was really interested by that because so often I feel like I hear songs and that's my perspective. I like things simpler. I like it, mm-hmm. whatever. But musicians tend to like more.
Yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit about what happened with this song? Did you write it very simply? And then was there pressure to add extra stuff once you got into the studio?
No,
or
there's not pressure. It's
just
I feel
what
like,
happened with the song?
I don't know what happened. It is The Great Despiser, and we ended up doing a big rock version of it. And actually, you know, when I wrote the song, I did hear it in that way. I think that it can be done in a rock and roll type of way, but I think a lot of artists will like to add a lot of stuff to their songs. In a way, it's something to hide behind. Production can be something that you hide behind. I think this particular song is better when it's not hiding behind anything, when the song is just laid out before people very simply.
So do you always play it simply when you do it live? Because the couple times I've heard you, it's been the simpler version.
Yeah. We've, for about a year after we released the album, we played the big version of it, and it just wasn't connecting with people live. It just was not getting across. And that's the point of a show and the point of a song, is to communicate, some aspect of the human experience and have some sort of communion with people that come to a show. And it wasn't communicating, and so then we stripped it back like this, and it's become a tentpole moment in the show for us, I think.
With your songs, have you been able to sort of test them out on audiences before they go on an album so that you know this ahead of time?
You know, this was the big mistake we made with the last album is we thought to ourselves, we're not going to play anything live and it'll just be this big surprise when we release it. And in retrospect, it was a mistake because since we're a live band, we learned so much interacting with audiences, and that's a lot of how we make our decisions. And so to take that out of the writing process for our last album, The Great Despiser, I think was a mistake. So for the album that we're working on now, we've been playing a lot of new stuff live to work it out. And it's been great, and I think it's going to make a huge difference with the album that we record this winter.
Any idea when we might be able to get our hands on it?
Yeah, we'll have it out by the summer, I'm sure. I think, you know, once we decide to record it, we're just going to do it in a very simple way, and it shouldn't take too long to record it at all. It's the writing and arranging process that's taking such a long time.
Can you give us a sneak peek of what we can expect from this album, since it's not going to be a big surprise? What's going to be on the album, or maybe some songs that you...
Yeah, I'd love to play one for you right now.
Oh, that would be great.
Yeah.
Going to make a shadow out of me. Well, I guess I'll be the shadow of that post oak tree in the forest by your house where we used to meet. If they're going to make a shadow out of me. Catch the briefest glimpse as you go passing through, as the shadow of the Lincoln we drove to school. If they're going to make a shadow out of you, lines will disappear as we grow dark. Darker than we planned for at the start. The light of morning will get even farther until at last you can't tell us apart. So if they're going to make a shadow out of us, casting downward to the valley from an Appalachian bluff. I was born, then I loved you. I guess that was enough. If they're going to make a shadow out of us, they're going to make a shadow out of us.
That was Austin-based singer-songwriter Joe Pug inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio. He stopped by KUAF while he was in town for a performance last month. You can find more information about the musician at joepugmusic.com.
KUAF is here for your community, and in this season of giving, we hope you can help out as well. KUAF's Giving Tree will benefit the Outback program from Fayetteville Public Schools during the holidays. The Outback program is looking for non-perishable food items and gently used donations of children's clothing, shoes, and coats. Simply bring your donation to KUAF at 9 South School in Fayetteville and place it under our tree. Thanks and happy holidays.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Christina Thomas. And as we can continue with this season of giving, Rhonda Dillard, our underwriting director, is joining me now to conclude our holiday giveaway.
That's right. Once again, great gifts from a lot of terrific underwriters who support this public radio station, and we certainly appreciate their donations, and we love giving stuff away.
We do. We do.
Yeah.
And the first giveaway, as I get to play Santa here for a second, is a $100 gift certificate to Cafe Rue Orleans, a restaurant in Fayetteville, and that is from Anthony Clark and Clark Partners Realty Group.
Yes, thank you, Anthony. And the winner of that is Murdo Laird. So, and that Murdo is from Elm Springs. So thank you so much for entering, and congratulations.
Eureka Springs.
Oh, I'm sorry. It is Eureka Springs. Whoops. See, I'm falling apart already.
That's all right.
Yeah.
Okay, what's next?
The next thing we have is a $100 gift certificate from Nightbird Books. Of course, they're located on Dixon Street, one of our local bookstores, and have a great little cafe and lots of local baked goods and brewed coffees and or brewed beers on tap. So, yes.
And that is going to Braxton Garris of Fayetteville. So congratulations, Braxton.
That's right. Congratulations.
Up next is a $100 gift certificate. It's good for a free family membership to the Shiloh Museum of Ozark History in Springdale. Great place to learn about history of the Ozarks.
Unbelievable place. Mm-hmm. Great old photos, too. And this is a family membership. It also is a gift card from the museum store where you can get toys and all kinds of fun stuff. So
that goes to Kyra Franz of Berryville. So congratulations,
yeah,
Kyra.
Yeah, congratulations. You'll enjoy that a lot. Great organization.
And up next, we have a $100 gift certificate from Mud Puppy Pottery Studios in Fort Smith, where Peter Lippincott features wheel-thrown, hand-built pottery.
Great Christmas gift as
it
well.
It is a great Christmas gift.
The winner of that is Robert Fitzgerald of Springdale. So, Robert, congratulations.
Up next, a $100 gift certificate from Collier Drug Stores. Collier Drug Stores has been serving locally since 1917, and they do have 8 locations in Northwest Arkansas. You can get a lot more than just your pharmaceuticals
medications
there. Yeah,
absolutely.
Right.
They've got Razorback merchandise and holiday gift items and all kinds of great stuff.
Right.
So the winner of that is Joanne Warden of Fayetteville. Joanne, congratulations.
Broadway on Ice is next.
Makes me want to put a jacket on.
I know. 2 tickets to the Broadway on Ice performance, which is January 17th through the 19th at Walton Arts Center in Fayetteville. I'm curious to see how they transform the stage into an ice rink.
I've been wondering about that myself.
So that's an exciting gift.
That's
for
gonna
sure.
That's going to be a technical challenge,
right.
I would think.
Technical wonder.
Yeah.
And getting to see how they transform the Walton Arts Center stage into ice is David Franks of Greenland.
Yeah. David, congratulations. Let us know. Kind of eyeball that whole situation. Let us know. And last but certainly not least on our KUFM Friends holiday giveaway is a gift certificate for 1 free eye exam and $100 towards frames from Uptown Eyes in Fayetteville. And of course, if you don't need eyeglasses, you can get sunglasses, and they've got all the
they have all kinds of designers.
Great brands. Oh yeah, terrific stuff. And so the winner of that will be Judy Stillwell of Fayetteville. Judy, congratulations.
Congratulations.
So that is it for the KUFM Friends 2013 holiday giveaway. Thanks so much to everyone who participated, and we certainly appreciate all of our underwriters who made these terrific donations.
And thank you, Rhonda, for all of your hard work.
You bet. Happy holidays.
Support for KUAF comes from Greenhouse Grill, featuring a seasonal menu of organic, locally grown produce and all-natural meats, plus organic beer and wines. Brunch and live music each Sunday until 2 p.m. Located at 481 South School in Fayetteville's Mill District and on the web at greenhousegrill.com. Support for KUAF comes from the Community Clinic, helping people lead healthy lives by providing health care for all in Northwest Arkansas. Serving the community for over 15 years with locations in Springdale, Rogers, Siloam Springs, and Fayetteville. Healthy people, healthy community. On the web at communityclinicnwa.org.
And this is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Bentonville, Fort Smith, Hinesville.
All right. And, boy, We've seen a lot of each other this week. Not that we don't see a lot of each other through the week, but we've been putting together shows during this fundraiser and want to thank everyone who has contributed so far. But certainly, because of the web, you can still contribute.
You can go to supportkuaf.com and make your contribution there. The website is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We would love to hear from you now in the kind of ending hours of the fundraiser.
Now, we will be talking to you a bit this weekend, but just in our normal times, to remind you that many of the programs that you hear on the weekend come from Public Radio International and American Public Media, not just NPR, and we're trying to make sure that we can bring you all the programs in 2014 that we bring you now. So we'll be reminding you of that and telling you about the web then as well.
Right, because we, you know, as we are an NPR affiliate, people think of us, you know, writing that check to NPR so that we can play their shows. Well, also these other organizations own some of the shows that you hear on the weekend, and we also have to pay for subscriptions as well so that we can bring you those programs. So if those are ones you would like to continue hearing on the air, you can let us know by showing your support online at supportkuaf.com.
That's right. The only reason why this radio station has been an NPR affiliate for the last 30 years is because of listener support. And the only way that we can ensure that in 2014 we continue to provide you with all these great programmings is with listener support. So please contribute right now at supportkuaf.com.
Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Esther Grajeda.
And I'm Christina Thomas.
Antoinette and Christina will be with you Sunday morning at 9 for Weekend Ozarks at Large. Antoinette back noon Monday with a brand new edition of herself. Thank you.